Space, the final frontier. Astronauts blasted into the cosmos last night on their way to the International Space Station. It's the next step in a larger blueprint for the future of human expansion into space. NASA's goal, with help from private investors, is to build a permanently inhabited outpost on the moon. But we wondered, how is such a project governed if it takes place beyond all nations' borders? Then we found out that the United Nations has an Office of Outer Space Affairs, and Nicholas Hedman is the Chief of Committee Services and Research. Hello, Mr. Hedman.
Good morning.
Who owns the moon?
Okay, this is a very interesting question. Nobody owns the moon. The moon and outer space is the province of all mankind. And there shall be free access to all areas of the moon and celestial bodies for all states.
So you can't just, a country can't just plant a flag and say, the moon is now part of the United States.
As we know that the flag has been planted before, in 69 they put a flag on the moon, but that was a symbol. The United States and all other countries that go to the moon, they cannot claim ownership of the moon or its surface. So that is crystal clear by the treaties.
So there are these treaties that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And they govern international affairs in space?
Yes.
And who is party to these treaties?
There are five treaties governing use of outer space. The Outer Space Treaty, that is the so-called Magna Carta of the legal regime of outer space. And that treaty was adopted and it entered into force in 1967. So that is far back. There are four other conventions, treaties. There is one convention on liability, one convention on registration of space objects, another convention on the rescue of astronauts, and the fifth convention is a convention regarding activities on the moon. And it's also then interesting to note that these five treaties, they have different states parties. The Outer Space Treaty, the first one, that treaty has 98 state parties, which means that 98 governments have ratified the treaty, and all major spacefaring nations, they are parties to the Outer Space Treaty. The Moon Agreement, and that agreement is the latest one, and that agreement was adopted in 1979. That agreement only has 12 states parties, so only 12 states are actually bound by that treaty. And none of the major spacefaring nations are parties to the Moon Agreement.
So if the major spacefaring nations aren't a party to the Moon Agreement, then what does that mean for the United States, which is currently about to, or plans to set up a station on the moon?
The fundamental provisions of the order, the conduct of outer space activities are laid down in the first agreement, the Outer Space Treaty. Now, in the Outer Space Treaty, it's not forbidden to place installations, equipment, and stations and vehicles on the moon. But they should be open for other representatives of other states that might come to the moon to visit and look at the facilities. There is a rule in international law that when treaties have been ratified by many states, and when there is a common understanding in the world community that certain fundamental basic provisions of the treaties are accepted, then all states of the world community are then bound by these provisions.
What if we find life on Mars, for example? Not certainly not a far-fetched idea. How do we deal with ethics issues with that?
Well, that is an issue that I suppose we have to really to discuss then in the world community if that would become a reality.
Mr. Hedman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you indeed.
Nicholas Hedman is the Chief of Committee Services and Research Section at the United Nations Office for Outer Space Affairs.